Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Jake from State Farm here, hanging out with Mel's Mow & Grow. Mel chose State Farm for small business insurance because his local agent is a small business owner too. So she knew how to help him personalize his policies. And now, he's rolling in the green. Like a good neighbor. Guys, I'm trying to do the line.
Oh, sorry, Jake.
It's all good. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Believe in Bengal podcast. Yours truly, Solomon Wilcox. And right now, we have Cincinnati beat writer for the Cincinnati Inquirer, Charlie Goldsmith, joining us. Charlie G. You can follow him on X or Twitter at Charlie G. Charlie, how you doing today?
Doing well. How about you?
Hey, we're doing great. Look, you're down at spring training, covering some Reds. You want to give a little dish of what's going on down there right now?
You know, I will give a little scoop. A couple of the players called me over the other day, the Reds players, and said, Charlie, can you explain to me these Bengals moves? You know, why haven't they gotten a right tackle yet? What's their plan at defensive tackle? What do you like about Geno Stone? They put me on the hot seat here.
Hey, that's when my days of covering Major League Baseball, I can remember Fred McGriff. The crime dog just recently went into the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame. He had his fantasy team. He wanted to know everything about the National Football League. So I'm always amazed at how many Major League Baseball players absolutely love the NFL, right?
Absolutely. They are glued to it. Now I have noticed it doesn't quite work the other way. I don't know that we have the NFL players. I would say Orlando Brown Jr. is an exception. Orlando Brown Jr. is probably the biggest baseball fan in that Bengals locker room.
See, when I was a ball player, obviously for the Bengals and through my NFL career, I was always a baseball fan. Ever since I was a little kid, just absolutely loved baseball and still do. But right now we got to talk about our Cincinnati Bengals. And I want to, first of all, just kind of get your thoughts on this. No longer around the National Football League are the Cincinnati Bengals known as the cheapskates. To me, it's a renaissance period, a rebirth of our Cincinnati Bengals. And I gotta give a shout out to Katie and Troy, right? Troy Blackburn, Katie Blackburn, and give some shout out to Mike Brown, because I think Mike is on that phase, in that phase of life. He wants to win maybe more than ever. So when I'm reading that the Cincinnati Bengals outbid it, the Dallas Cowboys for Zach Moss, that they outbid it, the Houston Texans for Sheldon Rankins. I'll give my thoughts, but I would love to hear yours first.
So being able to put yourself into a position to do something like that, especially the Sheldon Rankins move, which on paper, you know, a bit more uncharacteristic for them, guaranteeing that money in those years to someone over the age of 30, being able to do that isn't just 1 year of good cap work. It's like 5 years of good cap work to put yourself in position to where you're going to be able to outbid teams. The Bengals like to handle their contracts and their cap and their structure a very specific way. And they do that because if you do everything right, if you cross every T and check every box, every now and then you'll put yourself in position to maybe take a little step further that other teams aren't able to do. The Bengals kind of have that, you know, they can take one more step then maybe their competition can because of the flexibility they've baked in. So when you desperately need a pass rushing defensive tackle, when you need a starting running back, you're able to kind of go above and beyond compared to some of your competition.
BetOnline remains your top spot for all of your live betting action and contests. NFL, college football, UFC, NHL are all in full swing. BetOnline is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions with both desktop and mobile access at any time. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for 50% off your first deposit. That is a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, where the game starts.
So let's start with the running back position, a position that everyone, let's just say that the demise of the NFL running back had been greatly exaggerated because all the running backs that hit the free agent market, wouldn't say all of them, but a lot of them who were on the market a year ago and got the franchise tag, like Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs, they weren't happy with it. They found the long-term deals they were looking for this year. Why is that? Why has there been more of this change at the running back position? And why was Zach Moss the right guy for the Cincinnati Bengals?
Yeah, look at kind of the Bengals, even still are part of the, you know, the previous trend of not investing too aggressively in the running back position. I think you've seen other teams like the Packers, they've said, all right, this isn't a great draft class for running backs. The running game and the threat of the run is a huge piece of their offense. Yeah. You can add that into a Packers team that already has all these skill position players on their rookie contracts. The Bengals, they're kind of in a different spot because of what they're paying their quarterback, their offensive line, and their wide receiver. They need running back to be a value spot. They have prioritized those other positions over running backs. So when you kind of got through that first tier, you know, your Josh Jacobs types, literally the name I had circled, not that my opinion counts for much, but the name I had circled and bolded was go get Zach Moss, because he, like, last year at its best, Joe Mixon and Chase Brown, thunder and lightning. Yeah. Zach Moss is actually kind of a better thunderback at this stage of his career than Joe Mixon, just when you look at his craftiness and what he's able to do in short yardage situations. Combine that with just what he is as a pass protector. All of that makes him a great complement to Chase Brown. The Bengals kind of have a two-headed approach, two-headed, you know, monster. You know, they're not quite monster stage yet, but they're kind of going forward with that path with some skill sets that really balance each other out.
Help our listeners to understand that when we lost Samaje Perine at this time 1 year ago to free agency, we really lost sort of that triple threat weapon. And, you know, because he's a good runner, he's excellent when it comes to catching the ball out, but he literally excels in pass protection. And so why is that a really critical piece for who the Bengals were going to sign in free agency at the running back position?
Well, at the end of the day, I think we can all get on the same page when it's 3rd and 6 on the 40-yard line against the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC Championship game, ideally. That's where the Bengals are hoping to get to this year. And Chris Jones is winding up to pass rush up the middle, and you need someone to just lay one more shoulder on him to give Joe Burrow one more tenth of a second. I mean, Samaje was elite at that. But Zach Moss has shown he can be good at it, too. The Bengals never had a guy who could do that last year, and that shrunk the playbook considerably.
Yes.
You know, Drew Sample, love Drew Sample, but when you have him back there, there's not the threat of the run. He's not going to make guys miss or outrun guys as a check down option. Zach Moss can do a lot of that. And I think the hope is that Chase Brown can really develop as a check down option too. So the importance of it, again, when you get to these biggest moments of the season and the margin for error is that thin, and there's Chris Jones on the other side, I do care a lot about kind of who's helping protect Joe Burrow.
And I think our listeners should know that if you don't have a running back who could both run it, catch it, but also that third phase of pass protection, if you have to substitute that player out of the game and put someone who can pass protect in the game, you're literally signaling to the entire opponent, all right, and the coaches upstairs and the players on the field, what you plan to do on that specific play. So you need to be able to have a player who's multifaceted to be able to run it, catch it, and still pass protect without tipping your hand. I want to talk about Sheldon Rankins a little bit. I'm not going to forget what he did to our interior offensive line when Houston came to town and they beat us with the rookie C.J. Stroud at quarterback. But that day, their defense really got after Joe Burrow. And Sheldon Rankins was at the heart of the interior portion of that defense. Why was it important that the Cincinnati Bengals signed not just any defensive tackle, but Sheldon Rankins in free agency?
Just look at the playoffs as a whole. Look at the postseason in the NFL this year. When these quarterbacks are operating at their best, Lamar Jackson looks unstoppable. Mahomes, Burrow, Lawrence, all these guys, when they're operating at the highest level, you're not going to stop them completely. But what you're trying to do, and what the teams that won in the postseason this year did, was they created 2 to 4 negative splash plays a game. And when you look at all those negative splash plays, turnovers, sacks, tackles for loss, the two positions those most consistently came from were slot corner. The Bengals have that covered, maybe the best slot corner in football, but then interior pass rushing defensive tackle. You could pull up a dozen examples of the playoffs this year. You know, Chris Jones winning the Chiefs the Super Bowl. You could go on and on. Matabuke from Baltimore. There's a reason that he was such a big piece of their defense. All of these guys had someone who could, again, create that push. Bengals didn't have any of that. You know, Trey Hendrickson's a star, but they've been looking for the guy to kind of pair right next to Trey Hendrickson in his pocket by his side to really change the math up front. They didn't have it. You know, BJ Hill had a nice year, but he's not quite the explosive pass rusher. He's more the durable, versatile pass rusher. They tried Zach Carter in that role. They tried Osai inside. They tried Murphy inside. It's been a rotating door for 3 years now, and there's a premium you have to pay to stop the rotating door to finally find something that's a solution that you literally didn't have a solution for. That's why the Bengals had to go above and beyond to add this type of skill set to the team.
Yeah, and Reader was a guy that, hey, look, he was great for us as an interior defensive lineman, dominating when it came to defending the run. Didn't give you as much, even though I think what he had six sacks last year, or he was definitely good at getting a push, but you don't count on him as being a consistent pass rusher. And then coming off the quad injury, it left us wondering in what direction the Bengals would go. And I have to believe that Sheldon Rankins is not only a guy that can get pressure on the quarterback, as an interior pass rusher, I think he'll be able to command some attention that can help Sam Hubbard or Trey Hendrickson get the one-on-ones on the outside as edge rusher. So I think our defensive line just got better with the signing of one Sheldon Rankins. I got to talk to you about this because my first question is, talk to me about the safety position, because we saw a lot of safeties cut so that teams can save money under the cap. And it looks like that money is going towards the interior defensive linemen. Yeah, they're going to pay the corners a lot of money at $20 million. You see L'Jarius Sneed, there's a huge market for him, whether he stays with the Chiefs or if there's a trade. And we know the edge rushers are going to get their money. But over the last year or so, the Quinnen Williams, the Jeffrey Simmons, interior linemen, not to mention Aaron Donald, who just recently retired, they've been breaking the bank. Have you seen maybe a shift economically, those big-time contracts maybe going away from the safeties toward the interior defensive linemen?
Yeah, the thing is, though, we're not too far removed from – I remember this wave was when Jesse Bates was trying to get his contract extension. It felt like three or four different times, maybe five during that offseason, there was a different safety who was setting the market. Yeah. I still think safety is maybe not the premium position like defensive end and cornerback, but it's still a premium position on defense.
Absolutely.
Especially when you're Lou Anarumo and you deploy defensive backs the way they do. What is so interesting to me this year is he's a guy who before last year never rotated safeties. I wonder if we might see a little bit more of that this year because of the options and the different styles, the different flavors Bengals have.
And that really is what led me to the fact that I think the Cincinnati Bengals found out, not that they didn't know, because I know Lou Anarumo absolutely knew the value that was brought to this defense with Jesse Bates and Von Bell. And it's, look, if you lose one, it's going to hurt. You lose both of them. We paid the price giving up an inordinary amount of pass plays of 20 yards or more. That was totally uncustomary for Lou Anarumo defense. But he gets back Von Bell in free agency, who went, spent the year over in Carolina. The fact that we got him back, what does that say to you?
They're getting back, and Carolina's paying for him, too.
That's right.
Von Bell was the most missed player in the Bengals locker room last year. At the end of the year, when, you know, kind of after they get eliminated in week 17, I go my way around the locker room, and I talk to the guys on the defense. What happened this year? And to a T, you have, you know, Mike Hilton saying, I tried to do too much early in the year to make up for what the Bengals didn't have, what they lost. You have Jermaine Pratt saying, how am I supposed to be as fast, you know, and as instinctual of a run defender when I can't trust what behind me? And when he says he's literally turning his head constantly instead of playing fast and looking at what's in front of him constantly. There were a lot of different examples of players who were specifically referencing that. Now, will Von Bell be a starting safety? It's a good question. Like I was saying earlier, I think we'd see some rotation, some matchup specific stuff to determine who's going to play between, you know, Bell, between Geno Stone, between Jordan Battle. I bet Dax will play some corner, but I could definitely see him in some hyper-specific matchups in safety-type looks, getting opportunities, because he still does have some specific strengths and brings a lot to the table there. So if you need IQ 1 week, you can go on Geno and Vaughn to get whatever you need from that perspective. If you need more speed, then you can go with, you know, Battle and Dax Hill. You can kind of really play those matchups kind of more to your favor and make sure you always have what you need on the field. Last year, the Bengals didn't have.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
What they needed on the
field. Yeah, I do know just a little bit about that position. I could tell you right now, the critical elements of playing on the back end as a safety, you can't allow teams to throw the ball over your head. You really do need to defend the deep third of the field on deep throws, particularly in a passing league where quarterbacks tend to get impatient and they're going to go for broke. We remember in an AFC championship game what happened when Patrick Mahomes tried Jesse Bates and Von Bell in that AFC title game going to Tyreek Hill. He was impatient. They made him pay for it, and we end up going and advancing to the Super Bowl. So you can't let teams throw the ball over your head. You have to be great communicators. You got to be able to get guys lined up and make sure that everyone's in position. I know Dick LeBeau held me to a high standard to be able to make that communication to the other 10 guys. I know Luana Romo holds his safeties to that same standard. You have to be great communicators. Also, you got to be good tacklers, man. You're called safety for a reason. The name itself defines what your role is, and you cannot allow explosive plays. You got to be very integral in terms of being very important to the defense at limiting those explosive plays. So that's why I wanted to ask you about Geno Stone, because I really do think he got the Bengals' attention. I still remember that red zone interception in the first game last year against the Baltimore Ravens when he intercepted Joe Burrow. And, man, he read his mail, picked him off clean. That was a significant play in that game. It really turned sort of the tempo of that game and really help the Ravens get out of there with the win. What do you see with Geno Stone? What does he bring to the table, Charlie?
Of course, you got to start with that pick. I mean, Joe Burrow doesn't do that. You don't beat Joe Burrow in that way. And even if you just do it once, obviously he had seven picks. But even if it were just that pick, that would show me something that you could build on. What I see in Geno Stone is a classic Bengals archetype of self-made, earned every opportunity he got, made his own name for himself in the league after, you know, he got cut and had to overcome all these low spots on the depth chart and the opportunities he didn't get. I look at this too, like, here's what this reminds me of as well. You got Brian Callahan in Tennessee. What did he do? Who did he hire to be his defensive coordinator? He hired the Ravens defensive backs coach. That is the unit. He couldn't beat the unit. He couldn't figure out the unit that no one in the league could figure out.
That's right.
What did the Bengals do? They weren't in the market for a defensive coordinator, but they got the Ravens starting safety. So if you want to, you know, it's a copycat league, kind of see where the league is trending and bring some of that, what better than the best turnover generator from that defense that now this offseason, literally everyone's trying to copy. That can kind of be that next evolution of the Bengals defense.
Geno Stone wasn't even supposed to be a starter for the Ravens last year. When Marcus Williams went down, they elevated him to become starter. Kyle Hamilton had yet to really kind of come into his own, trying to find a spot for him. And Geno Stone ends up leading the team in interceptions. And he comes from a long lineage of really great defensive backs and safeties from the University of Iowa, going all the way back to Bob Sanders. And you remember Micah Hyde. He came out of Iowa where he was a safety and won a Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. And Geno Stone, it really surprised me when he came out that he was a seventh-round pick. But when we signed him, I said, okay, I can see this guy being a really good fit for Lou Anarumo's defense, and hopefully he'll continue to find the ball and get plenty of turnovers for the Cincinnati Bengals in 2024. I want to ask you about Mike Gesicki. Loved him when he was coming out of Penn State. You remember he came out the same year with Saquon Barkley. This guy was a big-time tight end slash receiver because he's so good at running the routes. He did that in Miami, did it most recently in New England with the Patriots. I think we got ourselves a pretty good player here. I'd like to hear your thoughts.
So kind of a similar point, like what did the Bengals struggle with last year? A debate that literally Lou Anarumo and Mike Hilton would have on the sideline is when teams, and they did this a lot to try to get Hilton off the field, they go two tight ends, three tight ends. They tried to go too big for Hilton to stay on the field. Yeah. And a week-to-week, snap-to-snap debate was, do we match with nickel? Do we match with base? Do we bring a third safety? What do you do? The Bengals, during Zach Taylor's tenure, really never had the tight ends to do that, to threaten defenses in that type of way. When you see everything that's been said about Mike Gesicki throughout his career, when you see how his coaches have used him, he is that, matchup nightmare kind of guy. He really doesn't even line up a ton at inline tight end. He lines up in slot, he lines up out wide, but just his presence on the field is what gets you to change the math, bring in an extra linebacker, bring in an extra safety. And if you can get slower, if Mike Gesicki helps the Bengals face slower defenses, and then you get the ball to Jamar, it's a pretty good formula for me right there.
Let me ask you this. The bringing back Drew Sample, the signing of Mike Gesicki, does that preclude the Bengals from maybe leaning into the Brock Bowers conversation, which all Bengals fans seem to be up in arms about and excited if he's on the board when the Bengals go on the clock with the 18th overall selection?
If he's the best player available, I'd take him 100%. Here's my Brock Bowers comparison, and it's a bit unorthodox. Mm-hmm. He reminds me of Jahmyr Gibbs. Obviously, play very different conversations, different positions.
Positions, yeah.
But the whole point is that when you get them the ball, explosive, electric moments happen. Yes. And there is no specific one archetype of player who can guard them. What is Zach Taylor likes? He likes players you can get the ball to quickly and guys who can make plays in a really dynamic way. So, of course, I haven't gotten to fully study Brock Bowers' game yet. I still have a lot of room to learn about him. But just overall, philosophically, maybe Brock Bowers is your long-term T. Higgins replacement in its own interesting, unconventional way. I wouldn't rule that out completely, but it definitely would seem that right tackle would be the focus and the best fit for the Bengals.
Yeah, for me, and I do know, look, there's a greater need at the right tackle position. But if you're going to continue to have an explosive offense in Cincinnati, that puts the other three teams in our division, and who all have great defenses. You think about the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Cleveland Browns, and the Baltimore Ravens. All three of those defenses ranked top five in total takeaways last year defensively. So they can match up with you. But with the Brock Bowers, our offense becomes more explosive. Potential for creating more big plays after the catch and after contact. And then think about this long term. Tom Brady had Rob Gronkowski. Pat Mahomes has Travis Kelce. Every great quarterback needs a great tight end. When are we going to get one for Joe Burrow? This may be the year to do it, Charlie.
I wouldn't sleep on Mike Gesicki, though, either. Obviously, he doesn't have quite the elite reputation coming out as Brock Bowers does right now. But what Mike Gesicki is athletically, what he is pedigree-wise, and then an old truism about tight ends that really does pay off, that really does ring true. It takes 5 or 6 years for them really to find who they are and hit their stride in the NFL. There are a million examples of tight ends who didn't click immediately, didn't click until later in their careers. That's what the Bengals thought they saw with Uzama, saw with Hurst. And who knows, maybe Gesicki can be that guy with the upside to be more of a long-term piece. And then probably what I'd do is draft a right tackle and then maybe a true traits tight end later in the draft and hope you can really mold him into more of a project.
You do also have to be very careful about taking tight end too high. Let's face it, as much as we love Kyle Pitts with the Atlanta Falcons, being taken with the 4th overall selection in 2021 has yet to bear the kind of fruit at least they thought they were going to get, even though he is still a really good player. But you're right. I think they tend to come into their own a little bit later in their career as opposed to hitting the mark early. In fact, in the 104-year history of our league, the best rookie season ever turned in by a tight end, Sam Laporta, who just came off a rookie year with the Detroit Lions. He was taken in the 2nd round. So it just still shows that you can find great value at the tight end position outside of the 1st round. I got to get your thoughts on what you think the Bengals are going to do with this 18th overall pick, because usually, Charlie, the free agency period is a precursor to what we get in the draft. Based on what we've done in free agency, what are you thinking with the 18th overall selection right now?
I mean, it just hits the Bengals right in the face. You know, specifically, it's not just right tackles. It is big people movers at right tackle who fit a gap scheme. So, like, what the Bengals used to do is they used to be all in on Jonah Williams types. Athletic, you know, proficient footwork, all that kind of stuff. Now they're in the Orlando Brown business. Big, get at you. And but they're going to hold up for 2 seconds and – that's what Burrow needs to get the ball out efficiently, because you just can't get by him in that amount of time. You know, Kappa's a big guy. Volson's a big guy. I did a whole story last year just on how much bigger the offensive line has gotten. And these are offensive tackles this year that fit that specific scheme and skill set.
Big guys who can move. Mm-hmm. I always say the little skilled players, you can find them a dime or dozen. And I'm not taking anything away from the great skilled players that the Bengals have or the ones that play in the NFL. But it's hard to find big skilled guys. The Anthony Munozes of the world don't come a dime a dozen. And if you find a big cat who can move athletically, you better take him. And it's not lost on me that the Detroit Lions, who turned their whole franchise around, you know what happened? 3 first-round picks on the offensive line, Charlie. That tends to help, doesn't it?
And, you know, you combine that with, too, the importance of this offseason for Zach Taylor, for Dan Pitcher, and for Frank Pollock. So much of what they've done is, you know, Orlando Brown was a finished product. Kappa, Karras, finished product. Volson, nice success story, but he was an older guy. You know, he's kind of getting his feet under him. This right tackle has got to be more of a developmental upside play. You know, hope he develops into that Penei Sewell-style type player with the skill set he has. So we haven't quite seen this version of the coaching staff have to develop this premium of an investment really since Jackson Carmen, but even Carmen wasn't as much for this specific style of scheme. He was a guard. This is really the first time we've seen them do that tackle with this style of offense with this coaching staff.
Couple of more questions, and I got to ask you about what we were talking about initially, how clever Cincinnati Bengals have become in the front office. And I thought they were able to pivot and maneuver as they saw the ground shifting beneath their feet as it pertains to Joe Mixon. This is their third all-time leading rusher. His 7 seasons were as productive as any running back who was drafted in that same tremendous draft class of running backs in 2017 outside of Christian McCaffrey. But you could argue that Joe Mixon was just as productive as any of those running backs, particularly when you think about over 1,800 touches of the ball in those 7 seasons, only 6 fumbles, Charlie. He averaged 1 fumble per every 300 times he touched the football. That's one of the most significant stats, and he hadn't fumbled in the last 2 seasons. So how were the Bengals, who were ready to release him, able to pivot real quickly and say, let's go ahead and trade him to Houston. Maybe we get something in return. But I thought that was really good maneuvering by the Bengals front office.
Everyone wins. Mixon's in a scheme that fits him. He's with another really good young quarterback. He's going to be in position to get some big carries and honestly a scheme that fits him a little bit better than what the Bengals are running now and be a big presence in the locker room for a team with high expectations. And the Bengals get a 7th round pick for a guy they were ready to release. You know, I haven't confirmed this specifically, but I'm sure what the sequence of events was. The Bengals make it known they're going to release him. Houston gives them a call. They clearly valued Mixon more than I recognize, maybe more than most recognized the value for Mixon on the market would be. So again, everyone wins. The Bengals are in a better, different direction. Mixon's on a team that fits him even better. And the Bengals get a 7th round pick out of it.
Were you surprised that he got a new contract 3 years? What, $24, $27 million over the 3 years and $10 million guaranteed in the first year? Did that surprise you, Charlie?
I was a little surprised. You know, Mixon has done some really good things for the Bengals. This clearly wasn't his best year. He was an efficient runner, but he wasn't nearly as efficient as he was in 2022. He took a step back as a route runner, which was a big part of his game in 2022. Mm-hmm. But again, Houston, though, still is in the advantage of being in the rookie quarterback contract window. They had a lot of their holes on offense already addressed. And, you know, like we said with the Bengals with Sheldon Rankins, maybe you can do a little something uncharacteristic because it's something you really need and it's something you have the flexibility to do. Maybe Houston's version of this was going a little above and beyond to get Joe Mixon.
Bengals are certainly looking for more explosive plays from their collection of running backs. Travion Williams re-signed with the team. He's going to come back. We know Chase Brown provides some juice and electricity. His ability to stay on the field and generate more of those plays like what we saw last year, I think, is on the entree for 2024. And then Zach Moss, if he can create some explosive plays, yards after the catch, yards after contact, that's what the Bengals are looking for. One final question from you. When the Bengals tee it up to play in 2024, T. Higgins, who did ask for a trade request, is he on the team when they take the field to play in 2024?
I think if the Bengals trade Higgins now and they haven't already traded him, it's been a mistake. Because one of the big reasons you trade Higgins at any point this offseason would be to use the $21 million of cap space flexibility and reinvest that into your 2024 team. So if you don't trade Higgins until after all the good free agents are already gone, I mean, that just makes you worse for this season. But hey, you know, the flip side of this is the whole reason to trade Higgins was that, well, the Bengals have so many needs. How are they going to be able to fill all of their needs with that $21 million cap it? Well, the Bengals, they've gotten a defensive tackle, a safety, a running back, a tight end, probably going to get another defensive tackle, probably get a right tackle in some capacity. I underestimated their ability to find this much value and add this many players with this Higgins contract on the books. So it's really some good work by Duke Tobin in the front office to put themselves in a position where they don't have to trade T. Higgins and they still enter the year with a very deep roster.
I don't think anyone in the 513 area code wants to see T. Higgins traded, right? And I think T. is just looking to capture the market when it's fertile. And I think there will be and is and will continue to be a fertile market for T. Higgins. This is a guy that over the course of his four-year career with the Bengals, Charlie, has 81% of the time when he has caught the ball, has resulted into a first down or a touchdown. 81% of the times when he catches the ball. It's phenomenal rate, a first down touchdown ratio. And I think he'll continue to produce because he has the kind of pride that he's not going to just mail it in, even though he's on a franchise tag. Oh, by the way, he is making $21 million. So I'd love to see him on this team for the upcoming season because I don't know that we're going to be able to find another wide receiver in free agency or in the draft who's going to walk in and give us the chemistry that he has with Ja'Marr Chase and with Joe Burrow that knows the system well enough to come in and produce. So I think the Bengals would be better served to ride it out for one more season. Your final thoughts on that?
The part we haven't talked enough about with this debate is just how good T. Higgins is. I mean, the AFC Championship game when they went to the Super Bowl, that was slants to T. Higgins that Zach Taylor called like three times to set that up. Higgins might have been the Super Bowl MVP. You look at Higgins caught the slant against the Chiefs in December of 2022 that year. The monster catch he had, I believe, against the Patriots. Like he ruined Bill Belichick's whole game plan with the stuff he did down the sideline that day. The Vikings game from this past year, we all remember so well. Jacksonville, third and like 20. They need to set up a game-winning field goal. Higgins burns a number one corner on a corner route, one of the nastiest routes I've seen. So, like, Higgins is really good. He's kind of worth the distraction or the headaches, if you want to say. Like, he is that good to deal with all this.
He does such a good job when teams are determined to double-cover Ja'Marr Chase. He makes them pay on the other side. He has done it continuously. And then when Ja'Marr is out, maybe for an injury or two, this guy rises to the occasion as a number one receiver. He's shown that every single time. That's why there's a robust market for T. Higgins. Trust me, he is the real deal. Charlie Goldsmith, you're the best, my friend. You keep up the great work. We will be catching up with you again. Of course, we got the draft coming up. I look forward to talking to you again. Thank you for joining us right here on the Believe in Bengal podcast on Bally Sports Ohio. We want to thank everyone for joining us. We'll see you again next time.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.